All right, loves, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tom would be the first name. Thank you very much. And this is one of these shows where I did not plan on doing it. But like your life, things happen in my life after I thought I'd established the topics I was going to do on a given day. And literally, in the hour before I came on the air, I received texts from three different people with whom I'm very close, and all of them are reporting various, I don't want to say gradations, but various variations. Oh, I don't like using that, but variations of the galloping crud that is going around. Now, I'm not a doctor, and quite frankly, I feel great. I feel awesome. But many of you right now, or your family members, are experiencing upper GI stuff, where you're lower GI stuff, which I can't do the sound effect because the FCC would fine me. Also, the respiratory thing, which started, and again, not a doctor, but there has been a lot of concern about children and respiratory issues. I have my own theories on that, which may or may not be quackery, but grown-ups with respiratory issues. Like, how many people in your home or in the workplace for the past 2 or 3 weeks, it sounds like a tuberculosis ward? I mean, it's one of those things, and it just seems like it happened earlier and earlier every year, and especially early this year. So you've got the respiratory stuff, you've got the GI stuff, and then you've got that other thing that's going around, which isn't a whole lot of fun. And of course, look, everybody has their own home remedies, and none of these should be construed as medically efficacious or studied, but here in Buffalo, thanks to our magnificent Polish-American community, we are familiar with something called Krupnik. And I will say that while I cannot medically prove this, Krupnik is... I think God had a hand in inventing Krupnik. To my way of thinking anyway, it is a home remedy where, let's put it this way, it might not kill the cold, but it sure does make the cold a lot easier to take. So which of the galloping cruds are going on in your family and for how long? And that's something that I neglected to mention in the first hour. The duration seems to be like, oh, I don't know, forever. And I've got so much more to say about this. And again, this was not what I was planning on doing today. But if one guy, your humble host, me, if I receive three texts, well, more than three, but if I receive communication from three different people in my life who are all going through different galloping crud things, I think there's something there to talk about, because you guys have got to be going through it too. And the ironic thing is, I'm absolutely fine. Must be the Omaha steaks I've been eating, huh? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And yes, I will admit, they did send me a complimentary package of Omaha steaks, which I have put to very good use. And I love my air fryer, let me tell you. All right, back to the calls. Bob in Buffalo has been beset by the galloping crud. And let me ask you this, Bob. Are you somebody who typically, when something is going around, it will find you no matter how many precautions you erect? You could build a germ-free castle, and yet it will sneak in and bite you in the arse?
Well, not necessarily. So I always anticipate, all right, I'll get like a cold a year. No big deal. Last year, I don't remember getting one, and so getting this was, I'll say, a bit of a surprise. And it's funny, because I didn't think I had much more to say, but when you mentioned the home remedies thing, I immediately perked up. So
you alcoholic, we lead the league here in alcoholic callers to the radio show. Between us and the Buffalo Bills post-game show on GR, I think we might have something here, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, mine isn't alcohol-related, but it is honey-related. So one of my other gigs is I do a lot of singing at local churches and all that good stuff. So, you know, when it hit my throat, I was, like, really, really worried. But luckily it cleared up before all of that, especially with the busy Christmas singing season. Anyways, so I went to school at Fredonia, and there was a professor there who was absolutely amazing. What she would do, she was a vocal coach and a fabulous piano player, and she would hunt down, like, all of the leads in the opera, and she would give you this mason jar. And in this mason jar, I swear, it must have been, like, 30% honey, ginger chunks, probably a whole cut-up lemon in it, and I want to say green tea. And she said, all right, you're going to mix some of that with water, you're going to heat it up, and that is what I call my magic tea. And, you know, alongside all the actual, like, pills and stuff I was taking for the decongestion and all that, this remedy, I swear, really is magic, because it helps your throat, it has all the antioxidants, the ginger to calm the tummy, and all that good stuff. So it was absolutely phenomenal, and it was just so funny because she would sprint down the hallway with, like, her arms full of these mason jars and just start handing them out to all the singers just to make sure that no one was sick for the show. And it worked. It was amazing.
Oh yeah. And today she'd probably get thrown off a campus for supplying something to minors or something without a license to do so. But so the primary ingredient was honey, and here's something, and you local beekeepers, you can help me out on this. What I've been led to believe over the years is if the honey is locally made, it actually is going to be more effective for you than something that is flown in from Denver. True, false, do you know?
I'm sorry, you're asking, like, where she got the honey?
Well, what I've always been told is that if you have locally produced honey, supposedly it is better for your immune system and fighting stuff off because it's local than something that might be coming in from Alabama or Mississippi.
I mean, I haven't heard that, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're breathing in that pollen that the bees are harnessing it from, I mean, why wouldn't it counteract what, you know, might be hitting your nose or your throat or whatever? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I honestly don't know the answer to that. I do know that a hot toddy, and you guys are responsible for this. No, you are, because we did a show maybe 7-8 years ago about this, but I never really quite understood what a hot toddy was until somebody phoned in the recipe for one, and I tried it, and it was quite efficacious. It really worked. Don't know
That's
why.
Awesome. Yeah, I all love all these random little home remedies that who knows if they really work, but at the very least, they make you feel better at heart.
Well, you know what? I'd rather have, and this is subjective, it's not objective, and I need to stress for legal reasons, I'm not a licensed physician, I'm an unlicensed one. No, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but if something works and you know it works, do you really need to do double-blind research into it, or can you just accept the fact, hey, I don't know why, but this works?
Right, exactly. And, like, I'll do the little zinc tablets if I know I'm starting to get sick. And, you know, I was reading up about it, and they said, all right, maybe 30% chance it'll work or not, and who knows if it really works for me. I do it anyways, just in case, but, you know, if, like I said, if it makes you feel better, then why wouldn't you do it?
Well, indeed. Now, just real quickly, and I don't know that you have the exact recipe, and I'm not expecting you to, but you're talking about green tea. Honey would be the main ingredient in this little home remedy that was distributed by your teacher way back in the day?
Yeah, it seems like it, because she said you definitely kind of want to dilute it, because otherwise you're basically going to be drinking slime. But, yeah, there is... Yeah, so picture a mason jar. You fill it, like, 30% with honey. You throw in, like, I don't know what you would call it, like a...
Ginger chunks.
Ginger, like...
Ginger chunks.
Sure. Ginger chunk, yeah. Cut up a entire lemon. Like, she left the lemon peel on and everything. So she would cut that up in slices, throw it in there, and then fill the rest up with green tea, cap it off, and then... I mean, when I received it from her, I wasn't sick or anything, so I just kept it around. And then when I did get sick later, I broke it out, and it was still good because it was in a mason jar, so, you know, it kept pretty well. And yeah, it was, one, it's delicious, and two, it, you know, I thought it helped a lot.
Well, that is a very interesting remedy, and okay, I'm sure there's somebody out there who knows a lot more about herbs than I do, herbs and plant-based remedies, but what is there about ginger that makes you feel better? And I think we talked about this last week, but when I'm coming down with something, whether it is a cold or whether it's something involving the tummy, there is something about ginger that makes everything feel better. Now, we're not talking about alcohol. We're simply talking about ginger. And my favorite commercial product along these lines, Canada Dry Ginger Ale. And no, I don't get paid for saying that. Canada Dry Ginger Ale. I absolutely love it. I can go through 2 liters of it real easily in the middle of the night if I wake up and I think I'm coming down with a cold. But the ginger itself, and you can buy it obviously at grocery stores, and I guess you could probably make the chunks as big or as small as you'd want, correct?
Yeah, why not?
Do you remember, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but do you remember roughly how big the chunks of ginger were and how they were sliced? I mean, like a potato peeler or a knife or something like that?
I guess if you look at like a ginger root, I mean, it was probably like four. I guess the only way I have to kind of put it in perspective is looking at my fingers, like 4 fingers worth of ginger root. And then it was just kind of cut up in, you know, the little slices and just thrown in there to, you know, get all the surface area on it.
Very interesting. I mean, on the internet, I've seen people do very interesting things with ginger, none of them involving home remedy. But very interesting, sir. Very interesting. And in your circle of friends, can you relate to anything that I mentioned the first part of the program about innocently sitting around, enjoying lunch prior to the show, and then one after another, people whom I love texted me to say, Tom, I've got the galloping crud, and the various forms of the galloping crud?
Not in my friends so far, but like I said, my brother got it almost essentially a week after I got it. Like, as soon as I was coming down from it, that's when his started. So who knows? I kept myself away from people, so maybe some of them are going to get it or not, but... yeah, but anyways, I just pulled into a job, so I have going, unfortunately.
It's cool, dude. I mean, I don't expect you're going to spend all day with me. It's not that I'm not enjoying the conversation with great relish, but, relish. There's something I enjoy, too. Thank you kindly. I do appreciate the call, and thank you for the idea. Okay, gang, I was really bad yesterday about hitting brakes on time. Now, as I look at the clock today, Tanner, the computer clock at which I'm looking right now and my own atomic clock have the exact same time, 3:25:52. And if you're listening on the radio, there's a bit of a delay, so your clock may differ. So we should be on the same wavelength time-wise. Now, if you're just joining us, And again, this is one of those organic, no pun intended, one of those organic topics that came to me because friends of mine, for whatever reason, all in a row, pretty maids all in a row, texted me to say, Tom, are you aware of what's going on out here in respiratory land, head cold land, and all the other lands, respiratory stuff, as I mentioned? Yes, I am. Fortunately, I've dodged this bullet, but we'll see. 803-0930. And what home remedies do you guys use? And again, I'm not trying to single out the Poles, but the people I know of Polish extraction, they seem to have the most incredible home remedies. And it's from you guys of heavy Polish extraction in Buffalo that your humble host picked up on Krupnik. And it's not something that I drink all the time, but I do think there's something to it and its medicinal properties, although, as I must legally say, I am not a doctor. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So what's ailing you during this early part of galloping crud, and what do you do about it for home remedies? And anybody want to add in anything about the magic of ginger? Not talking about Gilligan's Island, but the magic. Ooh, actually, Ginger is the last person. She's the survivor of Gilligan's Island. Oh, my goodness. All right. So do you have a home remedy? And maybe it involves ginger, which I don't think you can get enough of, personally. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We'll talk with more awesome people coming up after the news at 3:30 with Brayton on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't you go anywhere. All right, my loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. And if you're just joining us, one of the things you will discover, if you're a new listener to the show, is I kind of roll with the changes because Arios told me to do that when I was a teenage boy. Roll with the changes. And this wasn't even on my horizon heading into the program today. But the hour before I came on the air, this is not an exaggeration, I literally received three texts, well, more than three texts, but communication from three different people to whom I am very close. And all of them have different versions of the galloping crud which is going around, or which are going around, Western New York. And there is the respiratory thing, which, by the way, seems to last and last and last. There is the lower GI thing, which I don't really think needs much explanation. Bring out the Desitin. Yeah, remember Desitin when you were raising your kids? Yeah. And the upper GI thing. And by the way, may I say that nothing in life is quite as bad as an attack of the lower GI and the upper GI at the same time. And throw in some sneezes, too. Oh, you're going to be using a lot of bleach. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff that's going around. And I'm fine, which is, I love being able to say that. I am totally fine. Well, at least physically. But the home remedy thing, I'm fascinated with home remedies because, you know, we have a thriving pharmaceutical industry. We've got drugs for everything, and they're advertised on television all the time and sometimes on the radio all the time. But here in Western New York, and again, I may be biased because I have spent all but 3 years of my life living in Western New York. Born here, raised here, spent a year in Florida, 2 years in St. Louis, and then back to Buffalo. But I think that with our ethnic makeup in this area, it seems to me, and I may be wrong on this, but those of you of Polonia, those of you who constitute the Polish-American community of Buffalo, New York. I think you guys and ladies probably have more home remedies per capita than any other ethnicity. Now, I might be wrong, but I am not sure that I am. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So which version of the galloping crud is making itself felt in your area, your home? And then what home remedies do you whip out? And anybody, can anybody add anything about ginger? Not Ginger Rogers, not ginger from Gilligan's Island, and not ginger from Shameless either. I remember, hey, that show used to be good. William H. Macy, come on. But anyway, what is there about ginger that almost we ascribe this magical property to it? And I happen to love ginger ale. That's one of my vices, ginger ale. But like you, I have my favorite brand. This is not a paid advertisement, but Canada Dry for me is ginger ale. Don't even get me started on Verner's, because there will be some profanity that will exit my mouth, and I'd rather not subject anybody to that, believe me. It's like road rage kind of profanity when somebody says, here, have some Verner's. No disrespect to the people at Verner's, but, yeah. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And, yeah, this year the galloping crud stuff seems to have hit kind of on the early side and right before the holidays, which is the last thing we need. But like I said, I'm happy to report that I'm sound as a pound. Or did I just curse myself having said that? Now I'll come down with another dose of COVID or something, which I doubt. Here is Frank in Amherst. Frank, welcome. You are on WBEN. What do you have for us, sir?
Yes, hi, sir. I had a quick comment on what you were discussing about your hospital scheduling the other day. I had something like that many years ago. I had picked a doctor that I thought I was pleased with, and they were giving me a time out for the surgery that was 5-6 weeks. And I called the hospital involved, and they said, no, it's not us. We have times this week if they wanted to do it. And so I ended up saying that to that office, and they got mad at me for something that I found out about, like as if I was going around them in some inappropriate manner, and I wasn't. I ended up going to a different doctor who I had seen before. I thought I didn't like him as much, and he ended up being superb, and it probably was good I made a different choice. I got in by the next week for the surgery that I wanted to get done with that guy. He got me in for the appointment to get the prior inspection and all that and the paperwork, and got me in. And so that just in case people, there are differences with how these doctors' offices, and they'll try to blame the first doctor's office that was causing the problems was trying to blame the hospital. And I said, that's not a thing. Absolutely, it's not them. And I even called the hospital back and said, they're still trying to blame you. And they said, well, there's nothing we can do about that. But
it's interesting you mentioned that, Frank, because, you know, in life, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, what we have is our integrity, right? And nobody likes to be falsely accused of anything. And I'm very sensitive to that for various reasons, which if you look on the internet, you'll understand why I'm real sensitive about false accusations. So when a healthcare provider basically tells my GP that I'm a pain in the ass when I'm really not. When I'm calling a doctor's office or a pharmacy, I'm at the best behavior possible because I need something from them, like drugs or a surgery. So I am super nice, and I don't think it was unreasonable to call a surgical scheduler 4 times in one day without receiving a return phone call, and then for them to tell my GP that, well, we don't do the surgery this patient wants, or we can't help him, which is interesting because in my hot little hands, I happen to have the surgical date on paper. So for a surgery they don't do, I can certainly prove that they, in fact, do that voodoo they do so well. But you make a great point about the differences in doctor's offices. And
the word that you're mentioning, surgical scheduler, I remember that term being used for the person in the first doctor's office. And I was saying to them, I said, I just got off the phone with the hospital. They told me that if you call them right now, you can get me into a spot for next Tuesday. We're set to go. There's no hold up. And they were like, oh, that's not how it works. Or I said, well, how else does it work? I just talked to the people who run the show. It's their operating room. They would be the ones that would be holding it up, and they're not. You're holding it up. Why would you do that to your client?
My understanding is that before a surgery date can be scheduled, you need to be seen by the surgeon or the surgeon's representative legally before they can even schedule whether it's insurance legal or something else legal, before they can actually schedule
surgery. All of that was done. The insurance was signed off. My general primary doctor had signed off on everything. All the blood work was done. Everything was in. The only thing was the scheduler to call the hospital. It was to call the hospital and pick the right date. And that's what they were getting hung up on. And so I ended up at the other doctor. The other doctor got it done within days. Within 5 days, I had a time for the
Good
following
for you.
Week. Yeah.
Well,
so
you know, we've talked about this before, Frank, but as a patient, without being a jerk, and you don't strike me as being a guy who's a jerk. In fact, none of my callers, not even the ones that, like Jen the other day, we got into a discussion about Von Miller of the Bills. And it was a lively discussion, but it wasn't acrimonious. I didn't hang up the phone thinking, what a jerk. I don't really have that many jerky callers anymore, okay? Some of it, I think, is my attitude. Some of it is their attitude. But I think you've got to be your own best advocate as a patient. And I don't think it's unreasonable. And I think what really got me, and I'm not going to name names, but what really got me was hearing the voice recording of the surgical scheduler, so-called, saying, I'm frequently called into clinic with the physician, so I may not be able to get back to you right away. Well, excuse me, you're the surgical scheduler. That's your job, not being with the doctor as a clinician, as I understood it, and that it really bothered me. And frankly, the surgeon I saw today, his office, let's just say they were not in disagreement over my assessment of the original person who was to do the surgery. In other
words, tried to get the hospital person to see if they could call the doctor's office, you know, to light a candle under their you-know-what. And they said, no, we don't do it that way. And then I knew the other doctor that I was going to go to, he was hooked up with a different hospital system in town here in Buffalo. I contacted them and said, when do you have appointments available? And they told me what the surgical times were. When I went for my visit to the other doctor, when the first guy was blowing me off, I had that in mind already. And he said, when do you want to do this? And I go, tomorrow. And so I got in for Tuesday. It was for hemorrhoid surgery. I had the worst case of hemorrhoids that the doctor had ever seen in all of his careers, and he was a millionaire from doing surgeries. And so waiting 5 weeks, by the time I had finally decided to do something about the situation, I wanted it done tomorrow. And I was like, what are you making me wait for absolutely no reason when the hospital says they're wide open? It was terrible. And I've had that. I just wanted to tell you, piggybacking on people trying to accuse you of being the problem, I've had problems because she's in my lap now. My little baby cat is in my lap. I had problems with vets. I had two vets where I tried to get help for my little one here when she first came to me, and they made out me to be the problem. I had to go to a different vet from the vet who was our vet, and I had a plan.
Hold on a minute. I've got a break. I've got a break for traffic, but what you have to say is important to me, and especially with something like hemorrhoid surgery, you'd think there'd be a lot of openings. So let's get back. And this is kind of a we're talking about the galloping crud stuff that's going through the area. And what are the chances that in the hour before the show, three different people, all women to whom I'm very close, one, of course, very close, Mrs. Bowerly, but three different women with three different galloping crud stories. And I'm kind of blown away by that. What are the odds? What are the chances? Pretty small. But I do believe, no matter what it is, without being a pain in the buttocks, you have to be your own advocate in securing your health care, not just for you, but for your little furry friends like Frank in Amherst. And, of course, we're not naming veterinarians' offices, but you had a problem getting your kitty cat in.
Oh, yeah. We had a vet that I had gone to. I had a plan that, you know, you would do like a prepay monthly plan. That was our vet. And they refused to give her the help that she needed. I was begging them. And then I got a call. I was crying my eyes out for a week trying to get her help. I was so upset. And I finally got a fella. I don't know if he got a fax or an email or a voicemail from me, something. And he called me up and he said, if you can come downtown right now, he goes, I have a couple ideas. And this man that I never met before, never met us before, took care of us, gave us some pills. And in 2 hours, she was doing better. All she needed was an appetite stimulant. And the lady in at the other place, she says to me when I called her, I said, look, I'll give you another chance. Just help us. You know what she said? She said, oh, I'm tied up today. This is a Monday. She said, maybe it is better. You go somewhere else. Amazing that you're like our doctor and you're telling us to go to some other doctor. And thank God the fellow helped us out. And then last year I had a different cat that I rescued and I went to another veterinarian to get some help. And boy, they were just terrible. So it can happen at vets offices. It can happen at, you know, the thing like with the surgeon for the hemorrhoid surgery. And and boy, they sure know how to make you feel like as if you're the person who did something wrong and be like, how could I be doing something wrong just because I called the hospital and said, is there any way for me to get it done tomorrow, not 5 weeks from now? I've been waiting for years to get this done, and I finally, you know, pulled the trigger, so to speak.
Well, you're giving me so many lines that I'm not even going to touch the lines that you're giving me because it would just be too easy. Start talking about hemorrhoids. Remember when Jimmy Carter was president of the United States? He had presidential hemorrhoids, the first time I can recall.
I had presidential hemorrhoids and times 1,000. It was a terrible case. I should have done something long before, but I had not found the right doctor, and I thought that first doctor, you know, he had the right temperament and all that until his office staff acted up, and then turns out the man that I thought I didn't like as much, he turned out to be super. So, I knew you'd get some funnies out of the hemorrhoid thing.
Well, I don't laugh at your misery. I'm glad you got it taken care of, Frank. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. There's Frank. And, but again, Frank didn't sound like the problem. And I've looked at this. I've tried to look at it very, very objectively, this whole surgical scheduling thing regarding the hernia. And honestly, and I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything like that, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have done anything different. Because if I'm a jerk, I'll admit I'm a jerk and beg forgiveness. Perfect example. What happened earlier today with Josh Schmidt? I had no idea that one show that I had done where I shouldn't have been working that day, I had no idea that I was rude and mean to Josh Schmidt. I had, because I don't remember that period of my life. Amnesia. Legitimate amnesia. And it's all cool with Josh. He sent me a very nice text back, basically, don't worry about it. I love you. So that's nice. Anyway, but the bottom line is there's never anything wrong with apologizing, ever. When you're wrong, you apologize. And you do it sincerely. And most people are decent people, and they will accommodate your apology. And you get more flies with sugar than you do with vinegar.